Greg Brown joining us in his weekly spot. Greg, does this prove once and for all that what happened with Rowdy last year was for baseball reasons if the Pirates allowed Andrew Heaney to pitch last night to make $50,000?
I don't know. I don't know if it proves anything. I never suspected that they did something last year to prevent Tellez from. I think they just did it.
Well, you have to know that narrative was at least out there last year, Greg.
Oh yeah, well I think we probably talked about it. I'm sure it was out there. I mean everything, and I get it. Believe me, I get it. Until they start to win again, and until they straighten this whole thing out, everybody's suspicious of every move. I certainly understand that. The timing was bad last year, I think, with Tellez, and it made it look suspicious. I guess is the best way to say it.
I still don't fully understand why they gave Heaney enough innings to get to this number. I'm not even talking about to save the 50 grand. I just mean, why did they continue to pitch him in a season that was going south? Exactly. He had been bad since May 1st, Greg.
Well, I mean, I know we've talked about this before. But I've said this leading up to the deadline. My personal opinion is that it doesn't make sense for me that they keep veterans, and that includes Tommy Pham, to be quite blunt. It just doesn't make sense to me that anybody, including Andrew Heaney, no disrespect, that anybody is taking any innings or at-bats away from players who might help the team in 2026. Because for me, everything that is done now should be geared toward winning in 2026.
Greg, would you
having
throw
Andrew Heaney pitch doesn't do that.
Would you throw Jack Suwinski into that bucket, or is he just so bad where it's disrespectful to maybe other guys to even give him at bats when you're hitting 120 as a big leaguer?
No, I believe that the exact opposite. I think that as soon as the deadline, Suwinski should have been playing every single day and getting as many at bats as humanly possible. I think they've tried to do that for me, not because it's Pham, in my opinion, it's Pham who's taking at bats away from Suwinski, and that does not make sense to me.
What do you think could be, or what rationale could there be for Pham continuing to get the at-bats? That's what I'm with you on this, Greg, and I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or insights, or you've heard about what might be Ben Cherington's motivation, and now Don Kelly, when he's filling out that lineup card, their collective motivation for having Pham in there and penciling him in.
Oh, only on what they've said publicly. I think it's something about how they like his leadership, and they still feel the games are important to try and win. So I can only go on that.
We had Dan Zangrilli come on with us yesterday, Greg, and say he thinks Connor Griffin could make the Pirates opening day roster next year. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week. I said it's incredibly remote. I mean, incredibly remote, but I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand that it's an impossibility. It's not an impossibility, especially if he ends up playing some AAA ball at the end of this year. Then it's more if he doesn't, then I think it's almost impossible. But he's got to get to that point where he's getting some ABs, I think, at the end of the season at the AAA level. Again, it's not likely, but you can't say it's impossible the way he seems to be dominating every level.
Well, who is their shortstop if it's not him next year?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who is the Pony? Why am I blanking on the shortstop that's going to be a free agent who wouldn't be in the superstar Kyle Tucker tier, although he's slumping his way out of that designation? There's a shortstop to be. Who's going to be a free agent?
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up Pagero's name, but they, for whatever reason, Greg, don't seem to want to give him reps over there, and they're playing Triolo all the time at shortstop.
Well, and that was my other thing when the whole deadline passed. My other idea was just see what you got. Let Pagero, because he was such a top after they traded for him. He was like the man, and somebody soured on him along the way. But I would have, again, it's just me saying as a fan, I would have played him every day at short, and I would have moved Triolo to third. That's what I thought they were going to end up doing. But this is the way they wanted to go about it. And I know they've got their reasons, and they're they're trying like heck to do the best they can. It's just I just don't necessarily agree with the game plan.
Greg, I know we ask you a lot about individual players, and I know there's probably one more individual player that Pony will ask you about in a minute, but I'm going to ask you a broad baseball question. You've been around a lot of teams for a lot of years. You've seen a lot of Pirates teams come and go, good teams, bad teams, etc. How on earth do you explain a team being 39-30 at home, a 90-plus win pace at home, and playing to a 120-loss win pace on the road? That same baseball team, same players. How is one team 9 games over at this point at home and 27 under 500 on the road?
Can't explain it. I think it's just it's one of those things. It's an outlier. It's an anomaly. It just happened. I mean, you know, honestly, bad teams – play bad on the road. And the Pirates, yeah, they're better at home. They're still not a good team. They're better at home. But overall, you know, if they're a good team, the records would be better on both sides. Most teams don't play great on the road. You know, the old adage is you try to play about 500 on the road.
They're not like cheaply winning at home, though, because their run differential is plus 22. That's reasonably solid. Like, they're not getting by totally by the skin of their teeth there. That's what, if they were underwater on a runs differential basis and they were 39-30, I'd say, okay, they're very lucky. And that's why they're 39-30. They're not. Like, they're winning games pretty objectively. And it just baffles me that they could be world historic atrocious away from PNC Park.
I didn't look at the splits for Andrew Heaney, but is he better at PNC Park?
Andrew Heaney's basically from March until April 30th. When the calendar turned to May and flowers started to sprout, Andrew Heaney began to throw batting practice, regardless of the situation.
Okay, I was just wondering, because if you take last night's game and you play it at PNC Park and Heaney comes in, does he give up 5? And get only 2 outs at PNC Park? I don't know.
His away, he actually is. It's funny. I poo-pooed what you said. I will give you the real answer, Greg. OPS against Heaney at home, 702. OPS against Heaney on the road, 939.
Good Lord.
Every hitter basically becomes like Juan Soto prime or, you know, I don't know, Aaron Judge's like reasonable facsimile on the road against him. So you're right,
I mean,
actually.
Again, I don't know. I mean, that's one game, but I was thinking about that question was asked of Donnie again yesterday before the game. He said, if I knew, I'd, you know, of course we'd figure it out. If I knew the answer, we'd implement that. But Heaney coming, the reason they lost last night, in my opinion, is because Heaney pitched.
Correct.
So that was on the road. It just so happened they used him last night. And they also, you know, Ronnie Simon, I don't know how much of the game you guys watched, but Ronnie Simon, base running blunder.
Baffling, yeah.
Happens at home or the road. It just so happens. It happens in St. Louis that he decides to take off for third base on that comebacker to the mound. Not that they would have won the game, but all that comes into play.
Greg, if Ben Cherington was making a case to be back as GM, how solid is this argument? Look at how well our minor league teams are performing. Look at how well our minor league organization is now ranked by Baseball America. Oh, by the way, I drafted Connor Griffin. He wasn't 1-1, and he's the best hitting prospect in baseball. And also, even though the outside world doesn't give me credit for this, I did pick Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz. Skeens is going to win the Cy Young, and Cruz is hitting under 200 this year.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding. If you're defending him, I would agree with that. He could also make the case, we've talked about this all year long, that it's a big if, but if Horowitz and Gonzalez are in that lineup every single day, do things change? Tommy Pham, if he performs in April and May like he's performing in much of June, July, and August, and those things happen. If Cruz performed like they had hoped, they scored just the 4 runs. I hear that time and time again from people inside and outside the organization, and it's so true. They really are. If you look at it, at the one hand, at 57-75,
yep,
they seem like they're miles away from contending. On the other hand, if you look at what their record is when they do score 4. How good their pitching staff is, they really don't seem to be all that far away.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60 today.
He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And, yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point that they really aren't really that far away. If you look at it, and going back to Andrew's case for Ben and what Ben should be saying, all those points are being made, I'm sure, and he would be right. We would be right by saying that about him. You know, there are what he's done with the pitching staff. You got to give him some credit for that. The pitching is outstanding, and he's the guy that's kind of molded this staff. He has to be applauded for that.
Greg, enjoy the game in St. Louis tonight, where now they're drawing flies after years of being like the number one fans in all of baseball. It was amazing last night how many empty seats there were.
Well, again, it's the old adage again. You know, if you don't win, you don't draw. It doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what town. And this is another prime example. Many, many, many years ago, when the Cardinals were not very good, they weren't drawing anybody either. And that's the case. Not that you root for it, but it's obvious. You got to win to draw in any sport, in any town.
Thanks, well, Greg.
You don't have to root for it, Greg.
I know, I hate the Cardinals.
Pony and I are absolutely allowed to say, and you can just chuckle and say, that's your prerogative, boys, that we hate the Cardinals and are kind of glad to see it.
That's your prerogative, boys.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you,
we'll talk again next week.